The following podcast is brought to you by the Communication and Media Studies Department of Dominican University of California. Live from Dorm 221, you are now tuning into Soul Love, a podcast about my experiences with my mental health and how I dealt with it. I'm Josh, and I'm the host, and I hope you enjoy. Welcome, welcome to episode number 2 of my podcast, Soul Love. Thank you so much for tuning in today to my podcast. If you're listening to this, you probably enjoyed my first one, thought it was a good idea to come back. Nah, I'm just kidding. All jokes aside, I appreciate you coming back and tuning in. I hope your week was awesome and all is well with you mentally and physically. My week was okay, kind of stressful in terms of doing a lot of homework and still getting settled into college. But I feel like that's the best thing about college, stepping out of your comfort zone, meeting new people, and being on your own for a while. I'm slowly but surely easing into it. I actually had a lot of anxiety coming into Dominican. I thought it was going to be hard, but so far everything is going smooth, and I can confidently say that I enjoy my time here. Despite all the homework and stresses of college, I like to sit and reflect and just feel blessed that I'm able to come to a university and be around pretty cool people. So I'm super grateful for this opportunity. So, what's today's topic? Today's topic is about stigma in mental health. Stigma is defined as a mark of disgrace that sets a person apart from others. For example, when a person is labeled by their illness, they are no longer seen as an individual, but as part of a stereotyped group. When stigmas in mental health, there are negative attitudes and beliefs towards this group that create prejudice, which leads to negative actions and discrimination. There are different places where stigma comes into play in the world of mental health. Stigma often comes from lack of understanding or fear. Inaccurate or misleading media representations of mental illnesses that contribute to these factors. There is a review of studies on stigma that shows that while the public may accept the medical or genetic nature of a mental health disorder and the need for treatment, many people still have a negative view of those who have mental illnesses. It's pretty sad to see, actually. But many people with mental illnesses experience shame and marginalization, so sorry I cannot talk today, due to their diagnosis. They even often describe their consequences of mental health stigma as worse than the condition itself, and that is pretty sad to see. Stigma does not only affect the individual with a mental illness, but can also affect their loved ones who support them. Stigma around mental illnesses, especially an issue in some diverse racial and ethnic communities, and it can be a major barrier to people from those cultures accessing mental health services. For example, in some Asian cultures, seeking professional help for mental illness may be counter to cultural values of strong family, emotional restraint, and avoiding shame. Among some groups, including the African American communities, distrust of the mental health care system can also be a barrier to seeking help. Media representations of people with mental illnesses can influence perceptions and stigma, and they have often been negative, inaccurate, or violent representations. Like, for example, if you have seen the movie Joker, amazing movie, by the way, I would definitely watch it again. There was a study published which portrays the lead character as a person with mental illness who becomes extremely violent. The study found that viewing the film was, quote-unquote, associated with higher levels of prejudice toward those with mental illnesses. Additionally, the author suggests Joker may exacerbate self-stigma for those with mental illness, leading to delays in help-seeking. This is a great example because if you've seen the movie, you can see how harshly people treated Joker. So this example is perfect with today's society. Instead of finding help for people with mental health, people still look down towards these people fighting their illnesses instead of helping. So, how does stigma towards mental health affect people? Stigma and discrimination can contribute to worsening symptoms and reduce likelihood of getting treatment. A recent extensive review of research found that self-stigma leads to negative effects on recovery among people diagnosed with severe mental illnesses. Effects can include reduced hope, lower self-esteem, increased psychiatric symptoms, or even reduced likelihood of staying with treatment. Mental health stigma is not only an interpersonal issue, it is a health crisis. Individuals with serious mental illnesses die decades earlier than they should, driven not by increased suicides or injury, but poor physical health. Some of this disparity results from the side effects of medication. For example, opioid antipsychotics, combined with lifestyle factors such as smoking, lack of exercise, and inadequate diet. I really cannot speak today. I'm so sorry. inaccessible healthcare services, diagnostic overshadowing, whereby healthcare professionals attribute physical complaints to pre-existing mental illnesses, and indeed prejudice from individual practitioners, all have an effect. From cancer screening to diabetic hospital admissions to hypertension management, the physical health care that people with mental illness receive is apparently poor compared with what should be offered. Stigma not only drives this inequality, but also silences our outrage. There are two different types of stigma, the first being stereotypes and prejudice, and the second being discrimination. As for the stereotypes and prejudices, there are different perspectives, public, self, and institutional. For the public, people with mental illness are dangerous, incompetent, to blame for their disorder, and unpredictable. As for self, people think that they're dangerous, incompetent, to blame. And for institutional, stereotypes are embodied in laws and other institutions. And as for discrimination, there are also the same perspectives. Public being, therefore, employers may not hire them, landlords may not rent to them, the healthcare system may offer a lower standard for care. For self, thoughts lead to lowered self-esteem and self-efficacy. For example, someone may say, why try? Someone like me is not worthy of good health. And for institutional, intended and unintended loss of opportunity. Prejudice and discrimination exclude people with mental illness from activities that are open to other people. For example, this limits people from getting a job and keeping one, getting a safe place to live, getting health care, being accepted socially from friends, family, and community, and even taking part in social activities. People experiencing these stigmas may feel like they avoid getting the help they need, or their mental health are likely to decrease or go away. They may feel guilt and shame, and they are led to believe things that other people may say about them. So how should people experiencing the stigma find a way out of this hole? Most people who live with mental illnesses have, at some point, been blamed for their condition. They've been called names. Their symptoms have been referred to as a phase or something they can't control, and even if they only tried. They have been illegally discriminated against with no justice. This is the unwieldy power that stigma holds. There are five ways for people to fight against stigma. The first being talking openly about their mental health. Now, this is a very hard step for everyone, and it is the only step. But I guarantee you this will open up so many opportunities, and it gets easier as time goes on. Talking about your mental health will help people understand how you are really feeling. For me, this was a barrier that I dealt with for a while. I did not want people judging me or thinking I was weird for dealing with my problems. But now as I open up about it, people seem to understand and actually open up about themselves too, which is really nice to hear that I'm not going through it alone. Something as simple as talking to you guys about my mental health helps me get a lot off my chest. I love talking about this topic. And who knows, talking about it could inspire people to come out and tell their stories as well. Accept who you are and be comfortable with who you are. Secondly, educate yourself and others. I take every opportunity to educate and share my personal story and struggles with my mental illness. It doesn't matter where I am, if I overhear a conversation or a rude remark being made about mental illness or anything regarding a similar subject. I always try to use that as a learning opportunity and gently intervene and kindly express how this makes me feel. And how we need to stop this, because it only adds to the stigma. Make people understand you. Make them hear what you have to say, because if not, people will never fully understand the feelings we feel about this topic. Thirdly, show compassion to others with mental illness. Be there for our brothers and sisters that go through the same thing as us. Offer them a simple hug or just be with them. Talk to them, make them feel heard, sympathize, and relate to them. You never know, this could help them feel compassion and love towards themselves. Fourthly, choose empowerment over shame. Own your life. Use your life to your advantage and use it in a positive way. Do not let people rule your life or dictate what you believe. Fifth, be honest about treatment. This was another topic I dealt with. I did not tell my parents and some of my friends that I did therapy over a year. They had no idea. I felt pretty embarrassed about doing it. I don't know what it was, but I just couldn't come to terms with being the person that got therapy or went through therapy. At the time, I just felt really embarrassed. But once I opened up about it, it felt really nice. They were all very supportive and understanding about me. Therapy is important, and that will not be the last time you hear me say that. And lastly, I want to talk about how to stop stigma. There are many ways that we can reduce prejudice and discrimination against people with mental health. These steps can be a big help in big ways when practiced over time. When used, these steps could easily reduce prejudice and discrimination against people. The first of 7 steps is know the facts. Educate yourself about mental health problems, what can cause them, what can make them worse, and how to stop them. Learn more of the facts instead of the myths. Doing this makes you understand the severity and cause of mental illnesses. The second is be aware of your attitudes and behavior. We've all grown up with prejudices and judgmental thinking for sure. They are passed down by society and reinforced by our family, friends, and the media. But we can change the way we think and see people as unique human beings, and not as labels or stereotypes. We must watch what we say because it could cause problems or a setback in a person's battle with their mental illness. We are not changing our behavior because we feel bad, but rather because we are about this topic and our friends and families that go through this. We do this to help lower the stigma of mental illness. We should not treat them any different. The third is choose your words carefully. The way we speak can affect the way other people think and speak. Use accurate and sensitive words when talking about people with mental health. For example, we should not refer to people as mentally disabled, but rather someone with a mental illness. Use the appropriate words. Fourthly, educate others. I cannot emphasize how important this step is. Find opportunities to pass on facts and positive attitudes about people with mental health problems. If people ask or are confused about how mental health is, educate them with more facts rather than the myths. Debunk the myths with facts. If people or the media present information that is not true, challenge the myths and stereotypes. Let people know that their negative words and incorrect descriptions affect people that have mental health problems. It is better to correct them rather than for them to keep their false ideas. Fifth, focus on the positive. People with mental health problems make valuable contributions to society. Their health problems are just one part of who they are. We shouldn't identify a person just because of their mental health. Rather, we should recognize other aspects about ourselves. For example, if we all heard the negative stories about a person, we must recognize and applaud the positive aspects of someone's life. Number 6, support people. Treat people who have mental health problems with dignity and respect. Think about how you would be in their shoes. Understand. Think about how you would like to treat others. Think about how you would like others to treat you if you were in that same situation. If you have family members or friends with mental health problems, support their choices and encourage their efforts to get well. Small encouragements or small sayings, especially like, "I'm proud of you," have such a large effect on a person going through mental health, even if it seems not a big deal. I remember when I was going through things and I was telling my friends about it, they told me, "I'm proud of you, Josh. I'm proud of you battling through whatever it is you're battling." And to be quite frank, that almost brought me to tears. I'm not going to lie. I might have to cry right now. Nah, I'm just kidding. But man, it hits hard, like for sure. And lastly, include everyone. People that go through mental health problems have the right to take an equal part in society, and we must make sure that happens. We must treat them no differently from ourselves. That is discrimination against people with mental health, if we were to do that. We must remember these steps to help make a difference to reduce prejudice and discrimination against people with mental health problems. And with these steps, they could change the world small steps at a time. And with that, that concludes my second episode of Soul Love. Thank you once again for being here. Thank you for taking the time to listen in. I really appreciate it, and it warms my heart for you just listening. Even if it was just 5 minutes of the podcast, or if you were here until the very end, it feels nice to know that people care about this topic that I'm so passionate about. Remember, and I'll always say this at once or twice in the end of my podcast or somewhere in between, take your breaks when they're necessary. I never want you or anyone else to have a burnout, because it, quite frankly, is so hard to recover from that, and I've said that many times, but I will always remember to tell you guys that. Always remember that you have people there for you as well whenever you need them. They're there for you. They love you. I'm so proud of you. And always remember, stay up, stay humble, stay blessed. Thank you guys for listening in.